barometric pressure. The rain makes a child's broken xylophone of the tin roof. The cabin door is open toward a mountain obscured from view by leaves and weather. I sit with a photograph. Somewhere near the vanishing point, I see myself exposed by a horizon that I sit on like a wall. I picked sage in the sun from the bluff by the river while the engine idled. It dries, hung in the cabin, and the cabin smell includes rain and coffee, but not sage. Rain makes a motion-stop sound collage of a campfire burning bubble wrap. If this cabin were your ear, I would whisper the names of every road we drove to get to the end of the nearmost road. We wore rain gear and rubber boots. We were incensed with communal living. We coveted favorite spoons. The rain sings cat tongue licks of your memory. The sound tastes me rough and clean. The river has swollen, and there's no way to know which tree will fall off the far bluff next. You leak into this moment, though you are near salt water, the city. Are you this water emerging from the rock levee? Are you the dry bed filling with pieces of the gray river? Was I the sound of unseen boulders rolled in the river's last flood? Here we are. I listened to every voice I left to be here, repeating the last little words I heard. I am a pathway out of them. Why won't they write? When was the last talk? I am back in my body nearly. I am on the way here by a new magnetism reminiscent of early pre-industrial gravity and cloud shadow, pastoral landscape sun-canonized by oil. We paint ourselves with silt mud without decorum or devotion. This fallout is a residue of sweat, and our curtains were torn down and soaked in paint thinner. We flip the calendar, enamored with rain on the cabin window. We may or may not be in this together. We may or may not remember this tomorrow, though the story will pass on and on and on. The sort of structural middle of the book is this long poem called Fata Morgana that is comprised of 16 short sections. And it's also one of the older chunks of the book, one of the older poems in the book. It's too long to just read it, and I have struggled a little with deciding whether I might read some of it, and I think I will. I'll read a few pages from the long poem. First I'll tell you what Fata Morgana is. If you don't know, it's a sort of an illusion, really pretty common in the Arctic and even at the subarctic latitudes. We see it a lot in Anchorage, where I live half the year in the wintertime. Basically, if you have different temperatures of light over distance, with light passing through it, it'll bend or refract the light waves, and it causes really strange visual effects. Maybe an iceberg out there is made to appear floating, or maybe the water is sort of for part of the horizon is lifted and made to look like an island. Or maybe, and this is how it often is in Anchorage, you look west. I'm not sure who's been there, but if you look west from Anchorage, if the weather is clear, you can see the Tordrillo mountain range on the horizon, and even the Alaska range a little further to the north does it. Often, especially in the winter when the air is so cold and so clear and you can just see so far, you'll just glance out there and realize everything's so much taller than it was yesterday. and sometimes it's very subtle, but it's beautiful and it's odd, and it's also something, it's an effect that's riddled through a lot of Arctic exploration literature. It used to be a real navigational problem, actually, for some of the early trips up in the north. So that's where the title comes from. And what else? I should tell you, too, that one thread through the poem is a story that a friend in Missoula shared. She had come from New Mexico and had the chance to participate in this traditional burial of a friend of hers who died, and she was you know, part of the group on the reservation that buried this teenager who had died. So that's part of it, and other sort of concerns with place, etc. But I'll just read, you know, a selection of sections from Fata Morgana. Your hands, plum, springs, Chinook throat. Weather, lower, atop faults, holding breath like a tremor over you, the whole racked firmament, a map of cicadas, your quick breath as the moist rain seeps into clothing, onto skin, teas of wind updrafting beneath an umbrella, scintillate citrus light on the table by a wine refraction. Spanish wine, light haphazard on the tablecloth, cube of squash on a white ceramic plate, kernel of dried maize, shawl around you, a wrap around your body, wrapped within a prescience of spasm, ache, swell, your closed lip smile in a wood-floored curio cabinet, bathed in a pale light, limning surfaces shaping the room and the used dishes and the books. Bones and bird eggs, vases, a jar housing a scintilla of misgiving, the world's most careful paper crane. Skip ahead a bit. There's a couple, you know, prose blocks in the poem, whether they're not lineated like most of the poems are in the book. I'll read one of those. You described burying a friend in the ground, no coffin. All dead I've seen have been animal, nameless, on the road, on beaches, in boats, woods, dry rivers, some lapped onto rife stones of a small spawning lake, some I have dug holes for, a dog, a wounded rodent we placed next to a stick to measure its nocturnal effort, some in pickup beds or half-tarped on a flatbed trailer at a stoplight, antlered. A gecko under a boot heel at a Key Largo road stop. You described burying a friend, pouring turquoise and clay into the grave, the blanket slipping away from the face. Now I'm home, enisled, memory of the smell of dead salmon, their water bodies emitting an earthy stench. I found a dead eagle beside the ocean, talons medieval, clutching nothing but the far north's misleading light, the distended days, fraudulent mornings of winter, and ambling sunsets, an hour and a half of vivid, livid colors, and the Fata Morgana far down the inlet, the light aching out of the ground, the mountains growing visibly, and I left it once. And now you describe burying a friend in the ground, a teenager, and I return to a book about Arctic exploration, tricks of light traveling through unevenly tempered air, whole islands perceived, navigated toward, mapped, fled from, sought out tens of years later, the same illusion, just light. One could sail a boat safely through it like a somnolent jet beveling out a cloud. And reading about the problem of looking ahead or behind oneself in the white Arctic, no contrast, white on white on white, then black, white, white. No contrast, no depth perception, no opportunity for comparisons, a distant polar bear, a nearby snowshoe hare. Skip ahead a little more. T- Two great and contrasted forms of ritual weft your self-silence inward. You have suggested this to me, your eyes against the curtains, a pencil in your hand. I am telling your story and using your language, and the yard is a patchwork of yellow, dry grass, and the rooms accumulating flies, smoke. The volume of the music grows louder. The ceiling is a patchwork of shadow, and still you stay. We are looking for our names, markered onto dollar bills and thumbtacked to the ceiling. We have pressed our fingers into the grillwork of our eyes.